Steven is on PTO.
Yeah. We're going to see him tonight, though.
Yeah. And Jared Pietro.
Alleged.
Who knows where Jared Pietro is?
That guy.
He's somewhere.
Dude.
Does Jared Pietro still live in New Mexico?
I have no idea. I have no idea. But you know what? Let's just be honest.
Okay.
We live in a cool state. There's some cool things, you know, about our state.
Like us?
Like you guys.
Nah.
Oh, man. A lot of stuff coming in the new year. We can't really let the cat out of the bag just yet, but really looking forward to 2016 here at Star 88. It's going to be a lot of fun.
I know about some of those,
yes,
and I've been sworn never to speak about them until the day arrives.
Yes. Yes. So really excited about the future and what it holds here at Star 88. For everybody who has chimed in this last year and given some awesome feedback, we're listening. We're listening to your feedback. And so really looking forward to what 2016 is going to bring. But before we get there, let's not get ahead of ourselves. It's Theology Thursday.
It's Theology Thursday. And you know, Steve, last week, you and I talked about the incarnation.
We did.
And it was just you and I, basically.
Really
in
was.
The whole building,
yep.
And we were participating in our own Christmas Eve incarnation discussion.
It felt very punk rock, you know,
it
to
was
be here.
Punk rock.
It's like, yeah, bro, we're working on Christmas Eve.
We're
going against the flow.
And the fact that I was in a post-punk group, it really felt like
it was
there. Yeah.
Mm. And then we'd talk a little bit, and then we'd play some MXPX.
That's really?
No.
No, I was my era was a little bit before that.
I know. Did you listen to the specials?
Oh, yeah, sure. But you have to understand, my whole scene, I mean, for us, it all began and started with Joy Division.
Yeah.
So
Well, I mentioned the specials because I think the lead singer passed away this week.
Yeah, yeah. Right. Oh. And there was some...
No, and Lemmy!
Lemmy.
Wasn't it the drummer of the specials?
Was it the drummer?
Lemmy.
Okay.
Yeah. Lemmy died. Lemmy,
dude,
that was big.
That was
huge. Yeah. I mean, Ace of Spades, they were the first...
Still their greatest single.
Well, yeah,
was
but
their
it was...
biggest hit.
The first group to really kind of take some of the punk sensibility and move... you know, put it with, you know, what we call mainstream rock.
Yeah.
It really is, you know, we'll be missing
Not
Lemmy.
To mention the fact that Motorhead did the theme song for Triple H's entrance, so obviously.
That's a wrestler.
One of the greatest rock bands of all time.
Yeah, see, when you get to wrestling, you lose
me. He was 70. He lived a full life.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
He did live a full life on many levels.
I was reading about his full life, and it was like, man, it's really interesting because as people talk about, you know, we're getting ready for 2016. I'm sure there's people talking about dieting and eating healthy. And then you look at somebody like Lemmy, the lead singer of Motorhead, who talked very bluntly and said he drank a fifth of whiskey every day.
What?
Yeah.
And he lived that long?
70!
The miracle is that he lived as long as he did.
Yeah. But not to, you know, not condoning that lifestyle.
No, not at all. Just think if he would have,
you know,
lived a little bit cleaner life,
right.
He may have made it to 80.
Or he might have died in a car accident.
Yeah, that's true.
Right,
you never know.
And that's
so
exactly
true.
That. I wanted to talk a little bit about that today, being that it is New Year's Eve. There's like two sides of the New Year's resolution coin. You know, there are those that say, oh man, this year I'm going to, like for instance, I bought a journaling Bible, and this year I want to read through the entire thing and just journal very honestly what I'm reading and what God's kind of doing in that moment so that I have it as a reminder.
Sure.
That's kind of my quote unquote resolution. But then I know other Christians who are saying, oh, bro, we're not promised tomorrow.
Right.
Why are you making plans, bruh? So I want to talk about the idea of a New Year's resolution. And as a Christian, theologically, I mean, should we be planning ahead like that? Because, I mean, what's the difference between that and, say, I don't know, putting in money into a 401k? Isn't that planning ahead?
Right. Yeah. Let me just start off by saying that generally, and I'm just going to throw these two thoughts out, is in relationship to any of this, there's positional... And then there is progressive.
Hmm.
So positionally, you know, we're not guaranteed tomorrow. The Bible is clear. Everyone knows that. You know, we could walk out of this room and be struck by a lightning bolt. And
why would you put that on me?
I don't know. But there's no lightning.
I don't know.
There's no lightning out here. But so, you know, what we have to do is live as each day. Jesus himself said, you know, today is sufficient unto itself. And that's our position before the Lord.
Yeah.
Positionally, we like, I need to really nurture my relationship with the Lord. If you're not a Christian, you have to come to Christ. And so positionally, I'm justified. I know I'm not given tomorrow, so I need to live as today's my last. But now, that's the positional position.
The positional position.
The progressive position is that, you know, we are growing in our faith.
Yeah.
And though we are not guaranteed tomorrow, we have to look as though, hey, the Lord, you're going to grow us up. And so if tomorrow doesn't end, I need to live as unto the Lord. And so I think, you know, using the Apostle Paul, work out your salvation with fear and trembling, Paul would say.
Yeah.
And that is this idea of that you're progressing. So part of the progressive element is that we can plan.
Yeah.
We are to be good stewards of not only tomorrow, but 10 years from now. You know, so a lot of people, they would always come up and say, you know, well, should I do a retirement? And I always say, heck yeah.
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 Should I go to college? I mean, I don't know. I'm not promised tomorrow. Why waste 4 years on a degree?
Right, exactly.
I'm not promised I'm going to be here
tomorrow. And that's where I always say, well, you've got to separate positional and progressive understanding. Positional, you're not guaranteed. So that's where you have to seek Christ today. You have to live for Christ today. You're positionally justified in Him. But progressively, you may live the next 40 years. So you need to plan appropriately.
Mm-hmm. That's good. Facebook.com/star88FM if you'd like to chime in. Or 338-3700. You know, the great theologian said, but if tomorrow never comes, will she know how much I loved her?
Garth Brooks.
Did I try every
That's a Garth Brooks song.
To show her every day.
You know, I don't know.
She's my only word.
I only know, like, one Garth Brooks song.
Out. You can't.
I've got friends in low places.
Yeah, you really do.
I do.
Where the winds go down to the beer. I did that one year for karaoke.
Wow. You know, my country music love stopped. I mean, I still appreciate
Hank Williams Jr.
Well, it started with Hank Williams Jr. And it went up basically to Willie Nelson in 1979.
All right, so you're thinking, you know, you're more Hank Williams Sr. than not Jr.
No, I loved, but you have to understand.
Hank Williams Jr.
Hank
is
Williams
like
Jr.
punk rock.
That's exactly right.
That's why I said that.
For guys like me, he was like the first punk rocker.
Yeah.
I have read the biography of Hank Williams Sr. I have been to the museum.
Johnny Cash was pretty punk rock, man.
He was.
Before Hank Williams Jr. I feel like
they were sailing on their own two ships around the same time. But Hank Williams Sr. really, he was a fabulous songwriter, as was Johnny Cash in his early days.
There's a film coming out. With Tom Hiddleston playing Hank Williams.
Yeah. Isn't it No One Gets Out Here Alive?
I don't know. Because
that was basically one of his journal entries, No One Gets Out of Here Alive.
Okay.
But, you know, talking about Hank Williams, really sad life. I mean, you know, much like Lemmy, he didn't live to be Lemmy's age. He was that part of that club of, 27 Club?
Yeah.
But, you know, that's what happens when a lot of alcohol and drugs will get you in.
Well, I mean, as we talk about not...
New Year's resolution. So here it is. For those listeners who are addicted to drugs and alcohol, your New Year's resolution, try not to be.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's so easy to say that.
Yeah, it is.
And that's another thing, though, as we talk about this, is exactly why I think it's vital that we talk about stuff like this.
Was that your neck?
That was my... No, I popped my knuckles. I'm sorry.
Usually with the mentality of we're not promised tomorrow, so let's live to the fullest today, that is kind of the Lemmy and the Hank Williams Sr. mentality, because they did. They parted like, hey, we're not promised tomorrow, but they didn't live, you know, as unto the Lord every day. They just lived to the quote unquote fullest.
Right.
And so I saw this really interesting video. Francis Chan was talking about eternity, and he had this rope that stretched all the way across the stage, and then he had this red tape that was on the very tip of the rope, and he was talking about how basically the red tape, this little bitty spot, is our life, and then the rest is eternity, and he's pulling out like feet of rope, just, you know, 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 feet of rope, saying these are the millions of years we're going to live beyond for eternity.
Yeah.
and yet we're so focused on this little thing. And it was interesting to see the comments, because as he's talked about how we just try and cram it all into this little bitty spot on this rope, there were people, it was on Facebook, of course, so there were people who were saying, well, but scientifically, that's not guaranteed, so I live my life to the fullest every day because this is all I know and this is all that we have, you know. And so that mentality is, I don't want to say creeping in, it's around, but... So it's funny when Christians talk about the idea of not having a New Year's resolution because they're not promised tomorrow, because it's kind of the mentality of the world as well, right?
Sure. Yeah, and again, but you look at Scripture, the totality of Scripture, particularly the New Testament, again, going back to what I started off with, there is that positional idea that positionally before God, before Christ, we are to receive Him, we're to walk in Him, walk in His ways, but we're not guaranteed tomorrow. Mm-hmm. But again, progressively... we are to plan. We are to look at how the Lord could use us. Yeah. Paul himself was a great example of this. Mm-hmm. You know, Paul himself said, and I'm paraphrasing here, hey man, it would be cool if I died because I could see the Lord. By the way, Paul was the first goth guy.
That's the biggest stretch you've ever made, Beanix.
He was just saying, hey, it would be cool, bro.
No! The biggest goth guy. The first big goth guy was very clearly Solomon.
I knew. Yeah.
Okay?
Ecclesiastes.
Because, dude, Ecclesiastes is freaking just tragic.
Phoenix.
I'm just saying.
No.
Or was that emo?
No.
He was the first emo kid?
What's the oldest book in the Bible?
Job.
Yeah.
Well, don't get me started on that one.
Phoenix, what's the oldest known book in the Bible?
The oldest known...
Through oral tradition,
you'd probably have to say the Torah.
It's not Job?
There is a lot of different scholarly debate as to whether Job is truly the oldest.
What would you say personally?
I would say that probably the Torah.
Okay.
And here's, well, I don't want to get into that because we're talking about.
Well, Moses was more of a punk. He was angsty.
I'm putting line one, hang on,
you know
line.
What I'm saying.
Yeah. Right. So everyone's just calling about emo and goth
emo
questions.
And goth, yeah.
Hey, y'all talk about Jim Emo.
What are you doing right now? Are you answering? Are you waiting?
Wait, I thought you said you're going to the question.
No, I put him on hold.
Oh, well, go to the question, man. I want to hear someone.
Okay, go to the phone line.
All right.
We got a call.
338-3700.
Hello.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Rhett. Rhett.
Who's the first goth? Go.
No, heck with that. You're more like hip-hop / metal. Who's the first metal guy, man? I'm just kidding.
No, well, you know, I do have a comment on who was the first goth, and that would be Johnny Cash.
Okay,
that's fair. Johnny Cash was the first everything. He's the first punk rocker, the first rocker, the first
rapper.
Goth. But he was he did. He did the talking blues, which is what rap came from.
That's very true. That's hilarious.
But anyway, guys, I got a thing here that normally I'm pretty good at responding to individuals that come out with something that's pretty much just straight up anti-God anything, except for when it comes really close to home. So I'm actually looking for some advice today.
All right, shoot.
All right. So if you're unfamiliar, there's a rap artist out there by the name of Kendrick Lamar.
Yeah, from Compton. We know all about him.
Yeah, and came out, just released a video today, I believe, called God is Gangsta, and the very first part of this video, he just sits there and basically rants about how evil God actually is. Now, normally, if I was one-on-one with just somebody on the street, I'd, you know, get in touch and talk to them a little bit and find out where they got their line of thinking from. But with an individual like this, they have a very large
platform. Yep.
Yeah, very large platform. Normally, I would be tempted to actually create a response to this and put it out there. But my question is more from the biblical standpoint: how should another artist respond to an artist such as Kendrick Lamar who puts out a song like that?
Great question. You know, just for our listeners who may not know about him, he truly was. He was born in Compton. He grew up in the projects. Saw a lot of violence as a child. As a matter of fact, some of his friends were murdered. You know, while I think he saw his first murder at either age 5 or age 8. So he was exposed to, you know, this gangster lifestyle very early. And into high school, you know, he had a lot of individuals who were murdered around him. And even just recently, in the past year, one of his best friend's younger brother was murdered. And so he is quite familiar with this mindset of murder and violence being just pervasive in his worldview. So it's a natural conclusion for a lot of people, not just people who have been around that, but they see, you know, violence in the world. But it's a natural step for them to say, well, God must be, you know, a gangster, or God must be a violent tyrant, or God must be, and you know, you fill in the blank. But what they're not seeing, I don't think, is the totality of the biblical message. So my, you know, my thing to you as an artist responding to an artist, particularly you as a believing artist, is to try to put frame the issue or the question in the larger biblical teaching. You know, that you're not just jumping on, you know, this God's a gangster mentality of God's, you know, promoting and propagating violence, but rather what you would do is show how God, as the creator of the universe, loved us. You know, he saw his creation was good. And then, you know, throughout history, particularly the Old Testament, of, you know, his heart towards the poor and the needy. Yeah, he had to take care of some very wicked situations and wicked people. But as things progressed, you know, obviously Israel got more and more off base, and he had to send the Messiah, which is the ultimate, you know, the vindication of, you know, him bringing and trying to make things right, or not trying, he is making things right in Christ. So I think your response as an artist should be, let's look at the totality of what the message is. You know, you may want to cherry pick 2 or 3 verses in the Bible. You may want to try to characterize God in a particular way, but let me show you what the Bible actually has to say about who God is.
That's good.
Yeah, and you know what? I don't think it's a bad idea. As long as it's done in love, you know, Rhett, is to, you know, put up a Facebook page. Because that is a way, you know, I wouldn't attack Lamar, because that's why I give our listeners some background of who he is. You know, because he has truly been around violence. And so it's just a natural thing for him to probably go, you know, if this violence is like this, if this is how my life has been, God's got to be a gangster, you know, and so he's just jumping to those conclusions. So I think what you would need to do is, if you were to set up a Facebook page and just, you know, use this as a forum for discussion, you would just try to sway it in the way of saying, no, God's not a gangster. You know, let's look at what the Bible has to say about his character.
Mm. Cool. I appreciate that. And yeah, because the response that I was have been sort of mulling over is actually creating a track and a video along with that, more of, you know, sort of a response to that. But
just don't make it as cheesy as Dear Slim.
That's the first thing I thought of.
Do you remember KJ5? No. Please don't do that.
See, Ray, you say, but I mean, I'm willing to bet that Jonah wasn't like, dude, I'm gonna make a cheesy video.
Yeah,
like he thought Dear Slim was the coolest. And I mean, I'm sure it helped a lot of people.
I'm going to put a ban on you talking on our station if it's cheesy.
If it's cheesy, man.
It's like, promise, guys.
God
promise.
Is
it won't be.
Gangster.
You know what, though? Someone like Kendrick.
And I'll tell you why.
Yeah. But on a little serious note,
he's
here, guys.
A really great guy.
You know people like Kendrick Lamar remind me of? You know, it would be great to see a guy like this, you know, really come to Christ. But
yeah.
It really is a picture of God's common grace. Because, you know, you look at a guy like this who was brought up in just really terrible situation. And here he is, I think, like, nominated for, what, 11 or 12 Grammy nominations for his Butterfly album.
Yep.
And it really shows you, though Lamar, or Kendrick Lamar may be saying, hey, God, you know, blah, 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 you're a gangster. You know, it just shows you God's grace towards all of creation, even people who are not completely understanding, you know, who God's you know, or who he is in his true nature.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah.
Rats, thanks, man.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
All right. Phone lines are open, 505-338-3700. We are here.
Phone lines are open.
What, girls? It's New Year's Eve, and
yeah.
We're hanging out.
New Year's Eve.
Yeah, and that's a great question, and it really does go back to, I think, you know, in an interesting way, to our previous conversation,
yeah.
You know, about Paul in Philippians 1:21 says, you know, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. So going back to this idea of, you know, a New Year's resolution. I'm not saying, man, just make it about death this year. But I think, you know, keep eternity.
This year I resolve to die. Just make it about every death. Day.
No, but an eternal perspective.
Right.
That I don't have, I may not have tomorrow, but I'm going to live for the Lord either, you know, today, tomorrow, the next day, the rest of my life, if I'm living 30 years, 40 years, 50 years, 60 years, whatever, I'm going to live every day as unto the Lord. Because for me to live is Christ. And if I die, then it's gain.
Yeah.
You know, so I mean, not that that's...
And Matt's all about the gains in 2016. And I'm a right!
Oh! Yeah.
Strength.
Great
training.
Gains.
Jumping.
No, so let me ask you guys this. Did you make a New Year's resolution?
Yeah.
What's
yeah.
yours, Matt?
Mine is to quit comparing myself to other people so much.
Yeah.
Like, who do you compare yourself to? Like Brad Pitt?
In any situation.
Stop man. Giving him people to compare!
Oh, like Jesus.
Don't listen yeah. to him.
No. It's it just comes from a lot of stuff dealing with, you know, now I have a kid and I don't want to bring him up in an environment of comparison, you know, mm-hmm. where it's constantly like, oh, I've got to do this and
well,
look
this
like that and
job,
be as smart
this
as this. And, yeah. And
oh,
they
right.
have
yeah,
so
yeah.
much cool stuff. And Steven moved to Albuquerque and now he lives in
now
a mansion.
He's got
and,
horses.
You know, you don't want to
gosh.
Compare yourself. Not to like name names or anything, but
every day.
Steven Christian from Amberlin, you know.
Stupid horses and his big old house. And
no, I'm just kidding. But just overall to live more. I guess it ties into the whole like planning and stuff like that, because to live more in the moment, because I'm just sick of living life from a have to. It has to be this way.
Right.
It has to be this way because of this.
Right.
I'm sick of living life from that mentality and more living life from the mentality of the way things actually are.
Yeah.
Good.
Because I want to somehow teach my kid that, you know, reality.
Right.
I guess I just lived a lot of my life in my head.
Sure.
And a lot of that deals in with comparison.
Yeah.
Comparing moment to moment. And this wasn't as good as that, and I wish it was this. And
mm-hmm. Thank you for your honesty. That's great.
Yeah.
Steve-O, what about you? What's your New Year's? And by the way, we want to hear from our listeners. 338-3700. We want to hear your New Year's resolution, and then we'll pick it apart theologically. No, just kidding. We're
going to make you feel bad.
We just want to hear from you. 338-3700. So, Steve-O, what's your New Year's resolution?
Well, I mean, I talked about buying that journaling Bible mm-hmm. that I just bought. That I really, truly, and this, speaking honestly, I don't really put enough into. Teo and I have talked about this before. Prayer and God's Word, which mm-hmm. are vitally important for Christians, mm-hmm. but as a father of three, as a husband. Here's the honesty. Every day is so full of like just crap, like so much stuff in life, right? That just gets you busy. And I find myself praying at like the dinner table, and when the family's getting ready for bed, we all hang out together and we all just share prayer requests, and that's great. And it's true. I mean, I'm glad that we do that every day,
mm-hmm.
but it can become routine. And I want to put more. I guess weight behind it in my life because it's not a first response. Prayer isn't my immediate response all the time,
mm-hmm.
and I want to be able to lean more on God in that because I think I'm just constantly like trying to take care of everything myself,
right?
And so being able to actually, I don't know, trust in Him more. / actually digging into His Word, because I find myself opening up my Bible and it's, you know, when Skip is teaching and wherever Skip is teaching. And so I got my Bible open on Sunday and, you know, or Wednesday night and right on. And then how much devotion or how much personal time do I really truly yeah. dig into God's Word? I don't know.
Good.
You know, it's infrequent. I just want it to become a habit and to where it's something that's kind of second nature to where I just, I dig into God's word, and I lean on him a little more than I currently am, because I think we get so busy that it kind of becomes a...
Yeah.
It can become like a side thought,
yep.
Which is really depressing.
That's good, though, man.
He's a solid acquaintance.
Let me encourage our listeners now with some advice. Let me encourage our listeners with some advice. You know, since we're on this P, you know, we talked about positional and progressive. Let me throw out three other P's in relationship to your New Year's resolution.
Yeah.
And a lot of people usually just like try to take one, which is fine. But I think when you're setting goals, you should really look at them from a personal standpoint,
okay,
a practical standpoint, and a perennial standpoint. Perennialism is this idea of what is essential. What is the fundamental primary things I need to do? So that would be a perennial would be like exactly what you said, Steve-O. Those are perennial type things I need to improve in my prayer life.
Yeah.
My study of Scripture, that's perennial. That's foundational to who I am and what I need to become. So I think when people are planning New Year's resolutions, they need to say, what is perennial? What do I foundationally need to do to, you know, enlighten, to increase my walk with the Lord? But then there's the practical elements.
Right.
And the practical elements may be like, I need to lose some weight. I need to, you know, start running marathons. I need to, you know, those are practical.
None of that.
You know, but for some people, right. Those are there. And then there's those personal ones. And that's like what Mateo said. You know, these are things that I have found in my life that I need to change or I want to readjust. And sometimes those are the most difficult ones to change. Because a lot of people will start their New Year's diet or they'll start their New Year's run, and that's practical. And it can go into the personal because there's a personal element related to that. But some of the most difficult New Year's resolutions are the character development ones. When you look at yourself in the mirror and go, there's something in, and I'm not saying this for Mateo, but for all of us, there's something in my character I need to correct. And that's where it gets very personal. The practical ones, you know, like I said, those are usually what you hear with New Year's resolutions. Mm-hmm. I'm going to try to make more money. I'm going to try to do this.
Oh, let's do that, Tao.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, right. We work in ministry.
Yeah, yeah.
What do you want to do? Quit? Easy. Yeah.
So people need to look at it from those three vantage. What's perennial? What's essential? What's foundational to me? And I need to improve upon that.
Yeah.
What is practical? What are some practical things I could better my life, my health, and so on and so forth? But what are those personal things? Those three elements you could really begin to look at and digest and ponder to throw out another P.
And when you said practical, the perspective I thought about was the practical side of your New Year's resolution.
That's exactly right.
Earlier you mentioned, you know, like kicking drugs or something. If you are addicted to, like, let's just go big or go home. Say, you know, it's like, hey, you know what I'm going to do for New Year's? I'm gonna kick heroin. You know, it's like, okay, but practically speaking, how are you going to do that?
Exactly.
You know, like, oh, you're going to go get treatment, methadone clinic, or are you
exactly.
going to wean yourself? Like, how are you going to do this? Because, you know, you can say, oh, I'm going to start running marathons. All right, Tubby, you've never run in your life. I can run 18 feet before I get winded. There's no way I'm running a 5K
Steve-O,
tomorrow.
Steve-O, you just unpacked for me what I was going to say that these three are integrated.
Yeah.
They're like a woven tapestry. Mm. They are all part of your thing. So when you look at what's foundational, the perennial element, then you have to find a practical application of it, and then that will help in the personal transformation.
Cool.
All of these are integrated.
Sorry to steal your thunder.
That's good.
totally.
Thunder.
Yes, and the lightning strikes! Love Garth Brooks, guys.
I think your perennial thing is to meet Garth Brooks.
When I was younger, my mom took me to see him. I saw Martina McBride and Garth Brooks at the Rope in the Wind tour at the Pit.
Right on, brother.
Dude, I loved Garth Brooks.
Yeah.
I'm saying.
Yeah.
Getting back to, honestly, I think that's why New Year's resolutions fall apart, because you're like, I'm going to do this. I'm going to dig in every day. Crap, I forgot to read my Bible today. And then day three, I quit. That sucks. I'm so far behind. Never mind.
And here's the reason why. Because it's not one of the perennial facets of their life. It's not foundational. They don't see it as, wow, this is foundational. This is essential.
Right.
This
for
is
my
a
pr- being.
This is a primary
the
thing
word
I need
of God.
To do. So they need to connect it to that perennial facet and then get to the practical applications, and then it will have personal roots.
Dude, our boy Paul in Houston just quoted the greatest theologian of all time. Nothing changes on New Year's Day. That's Bono.
Yeah. Bono.
Yeah.
Yeah, can we
it's
talk?
My wife's favorite U2 song, by the way.
Yeah,
New Year's Day.
Yeah, Bono. I did see U2 at their in between War and Unforgettable Fire.
Oh man!
At the San Francisco Civic Convention Center. Ooh. Me and 4,000 other people. That was it.
Speaking of New Year's resolutions, Teo and I, our New Year's resolution is to find somebody who's wealthy or has an inn at Coachella because we want to see Guns N' Roses reunite at Coachella. Mm.
You
is
know,
that cool?
Just welcome to the jungle, brother.
Oh, okay. Did you see?
November.
Their original lineup. Supposedly. Duff McKagan, who we saw at Warped Tour.
With his new band.
He's got a new band, and Duff McKagan just walking by and was like, Duff McKagan!
How is it that, you know, everything we talk about always goes back to music?
Because
we are a radio station.
We are three music lovers.
It's all in context.
It is.
Speaking of, I picked up a new, I don't want to say this, well, I got Apple Music, you know, because everybody's got one of those services. I know. I picked up a service, and I've just been just my
you like
love
it?
Of all. Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, you know, it's like a Spotify or any of the other ones.
Right.
I think what I love is that the whole family can have it on their different devices.
Do you pay for Apple Music?
Yeah.
Oh, you do?
Okay, we got something
you can pay. You can, yeah. I'm like, well, there's three different
subscriptions. Hey, Mateo, are you, real quality
are you,
up in here.
Are you comparing yourself now to Steve-O?
No. Gosh, no.
I'm kind of like the. Because I've just been this way for, you know, with them for a long time, but I do Amazon Prime. I know it's not as cool, but I get all the free streaming stuff too, but we have to pay for it as well.
Yeah, okay, everybody. We got to quit talking about subscription services.
Because of the 2-day shipping. I'm just kidding.
Because I started with Amazon when it was all about books. That's why.
Oh my gosh.
Amazon is a friend of mine. Because
so you're the jerk that got Borders like put under.
That's exactly right. Because I was the guy that would go in there and say, but now for your independent bookstores, I still shop at them. I will purposely go out of my way to our local establishments that are local independent bookstores, and I will buy books from them.
None of which he named, so that's good.
I bought my journaling Bible at Solomon's Porch. So
I
can say Solomon's Porch. It's not comp.
It's a loophole. Yeah.
So I didn't say the book names, but the point is that I am a supporter of your local independent bookstores.
I like that.
And we do have still about three or four here in town.
Hey, maybe your New Year's resolution is to financially support something. How about Star 88? I mean, you know, we are a non-commercial.
That's right. 338-3700.
You want to do something better with your money this year? Invest it in the kingdom.
That's right.
Loose. investment. No, I'm just playing. No, that's what it is.
Amazing. Phone lines are open, 338-3700. And while we're waiting for phone calls, we do have a few emails.
Yeah, we have some emails.
We have an old question.
Yes, go. Emails.
Did you guys ever cover the one from the guy in Estonia?
No.
Okay. We last week only talked about the incarnation.
This is from Thanksgiving.
Okay. Oh. Wow. Goes
so
back.
It's been that long.
That's right. Okay. Hello. I write to you from Estonia, Northeast Europe.
That's cool.
Found your podcast on my podcast app, and so far it's the best theology podcast I've listened to.
Wow.
Best out of three.
Wow. That's awesome.
Oh, so he did say that. Yeah. I was like, he didn't say that.
No, he said
it. Hey, wait. Because he's going to listen to this on podcast?
Yes. Yeah,
I just want to say one of my favorite composers is Estonian. His name is Eero Peert, and he is
this guy.
He's
just
everything.
He's just absolutely. Other than Bach, Peert is like one of my favorite guys. I just want to go to Estonia. He doesn't live in Estonia anymore. He lives in Germany. But I just want to go and touch buildings that Eero Peert.
Hey, you know why you don't like that Pharisee over there?
Oh no,
because Estonia. You're welcome.
All right, so let's get back to our Estonian friend. So cool that they're listening in Estonia.
They're called Estoners?
No.
No?
Mine was a Bible reference. Yours was a drug reference. Gosh.
Comparison.
Thanks, Obama. I started listening from the beginning, so it has been a couple of months now, about two episodes a day. I love the way you guys have fun on the air, and at the same time, you're all about God. So far, I haven't agreed with everything you say, but I agree on the essential part of the faith. Amen. I do have many questions for you, which I would love to hear your view on.
Awesome!
I'll write two of them today, and if you don't mind, I'll write to you again in the future. So here they are. And my friend, Tarvo, if you're still listening, despite it having been over a month since you emailed, we apologize for that, but here we go.
Okay.
Number one, Holy Spirit versus tradition. Should we avoid having too many traditions in order to give more room for the Holy Spirit to work? Or can Holy Spirit work through tradition so we don't really need to worry about it at all?
Ooh.
Great question. Now, let me just clarify something here. And what is this gentleman's name?
Tarvo.
Tarvo. Tarvo. I'm stoked that you are listening from Estonia.
You're stoked.
And speaking in all honesty, Avra Perret. So I need you to find his city.
Go away.
And just go hang out there for a while. But anyway, we have to separate tradition from Scripture. When we're saying, can we separate Scripture from the Holy Spirit? No, because the Bible is Holy Spirit breathed, meaning God actively worked via the Holy Spirit through humans to communicate to us through the written word. Now, the Bible is a human book, but it's also a divine book. Mm-hmm. Much like the two natures of Christ, you know, Christ is 100% divine, 100% human. Mm-hmm. There are two natures to the Bible. It is human and divine conjoined. Now, we don't worship the Bible. But so we cannot separate Scripture from the Holy Spirit. However, we can separate the traditions of men from the Holy Spirit, because there are elements within the Church Universal, there in Estonia as well as here in the United States and specifically here in New Mexico, that tradition may not be a work of the Holy Spirit. You know, that's just a tradition of man, something that we've, you know, added to the faith. So, Tarvo, there in Estonia, as you're looking at the church culture there, you know, ask yourself, go back to the Bible and go, you know, is this something sanctioned by the Bible? And if it's not, then you could say, well, then the Holy Spirit's not behind it. But if it's something that's not against the Bible, but humans are doing, feel free to participate, because traditions aren't bad in of themselves. You know, we all go to high church festivals, you know, particularly here in New Mexico, a lot of Roman Catholic, you know, components and such. And it's not bad for me to go to them. Is it necessarily profitable? You know, is it going to increase my faith? No, but it's a traditional thing that we've done. It's the moment we start saying, you have to do this, right, you need to do that in order to enhance or grow your faith. That's when a check should come in our heart and go, you know what? The Bible's not promoting this. Therefore, we could be pretty confident that the Holy Spirit is not behind this. And that's where we would start to question whether or not we should, you know, be a part of it. But I would think in Estonia, if my memory serves me correctly, probably a large Lutheran demographic, probably a large Roman Catholic.
Which is probably where the tradition question comes in.
And a Greek Orthodox. Yeah. Avra Perret himself is a believer. He's Greek Orthodox, or maybe he's Russian Orthodox. But the point is that there is a lot of tradition there. So someone like Tarvo, who's listening in Estonia, they just need to go back to Scripture, again, because Scripture is, you know, a product, a work of the Holy Spirit speaking through men. And so that is our rule of faith. That is our canon. That's where we start. And if something's contrary to the Holy Spirit, I mean, contrary to Scripture, we should really, you know, red flag should come up. But if it's not against Scripture, but it's something that is, you know, fun, is a tradition of your culture or your people group or, you know, or your city, participate as part of the human nature.
Glad you put it that way, because I immediately thought of this season, whether it's, oh, I don't like the way my church did Advent because, oh, they did Advent and it's too traditional, or I don't like the way they did worship for Christmas Eve because it's flashy and lights and chaos. So say that again. If it's not contrary to Scripture...
Yeah, if the tradition you are participating is not contrary, meaning it's not going against the clear teaching of the Bible, you could participate.
Okay.
But if it is going against the clear teachings of the Bible, I would recommend that you steer clear of that tradition.
Right on.
So, I mean, let's just use something since we just, you know, past the Christmas season. The Christmas tree. Yeah. The Christmas tree. Now, people will try to, you know, pull some, cherry pick some verses to say we shouldn't have Christmas trees. There are some, you know, particularly cults out there that like to do that.
Yeah.
But the point is, it's not against the Bible. You know, having a Christmas tree isn't against it. So I could participate in it. But the moment someone would say, come to me and say, you have to have a Christmas tree in your house or you're not a Christian, that then is contrary to what the Bible's teaching is. And that's where you would say, I don't agree with your teachings or your traditions or your philosophy. I don't mind having a Christmas tree because it's not going against Scripture. But in order for you to tell me I have to have a Christmas tree in order to be saved, then I've got a problem.
There's some crazy stuff going circulating Facebook right now that I've been noticing more and more recently because of the quote-unquote trend of having, I don't know, solid music in worship. And
right.
I've noticed that people, you know, wanting to go back to more, I don't even know what you want to go back to. Traditional, it's like it's too loud or it's too flashy or it's too whatever. Versus the Advent season of, yeah, but this now we're just reading from a book and it's super traditional. I love this aspect because I think both sides need to take a look at it clearly through God's word.
And you have to think, you know, we are human beings.
Yeah.
We are human beings in the sense that...
with preferences.
With cultures. With preferences.
Yeah.
And we are participants in our culture. So we could be participants in the culture, but when the culture is contrary...
Yeah.
To the clear teachings of Scripture, that's when we draw the line. So let's take it outside of the church realm per se.
Okay.
But abortion. Here in America, abortion is legal. That doesn't mean, well, just because our culture says it's okay, I could go and do it. No, right. That's where we'll have to draw a line and say, listen, the Bible's pretty clear about the sanctity of life, that we're conceived in the womb, and God views us as a person from the get-go. And therefore, I need to refrain, from that. Not to say there's not forgiveness for people and hope and redemption and all of that. But the point is, we don't just go with culture because we're part of it.
Right.
That's why we have to come back to Scripture and let Scripture be our guide in those points.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Phone lines are open, 338-3700. I know
Tarvo
had another question.
Tarvo, we'll come back to it.
We will, yeah. Let's.
I'm just stoked that someone from Estonia. Go find our Aver Parts areas for me, Tarvo.
So just find it, please.
Please, he'll stop talking. Phone lines are open. Let's go to line one. Hello, welcome to Theology Thursday.
Hello?
Hi, you're on.
Oh, hi. I didn't think I'd get an answer real quick. This is kind of like my first time on a radio station. But I've been listening to you guys a lot lately because I've been going through a lot lately. And, I always had these ups and downs. And I usually start to notice now that coming to the Lord Jesus Christ, God the Father, that there's resolution there, a lot of resolve,
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, I guess we're talking about something about the New Year's resolution, or...
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Is that the question? And
why not? Like, I mean, it's open phone lines, man. What do you want to
talk
about?
Yeah, you could answer, ask any question you want.
Yeah.
Well, my New Year's resolution kind of, I'm trying to pretend like actually obeying the Word of God with my health. I used to be in a very bad situation with drug use.
Hmm.
And I don't know why I always felt like I could always pray for forgiveness. Like I had that premeditated belief in, like, as long as I sin, I could always ask for forgiveness. I think the station was talking about that yesterday. Hmm. And I kind of realized that of hitting rock bottom, but I kind of realized that, like, just looking at the truth of the Word of God really does pertain in good health, and really does help you find out, like, a resolution for yourself.
Yeah.
I don't know how that goes theologically.
I've got some insight from you. First of all, do you mind saying your first name so I could just address you? Or even
sure,
a nickname?
Ely.
Ely? And where are you calling from, Ely?
I'm calling from Albuquerque.
Albuquerque. Okay, great. First of all, great question. We're so thankful you called and that you could share your heart about, struggling with some drug use. Let me give you just some practical advice. And though this is a big, approach to it, And it's for all our listeners who may be struggling with drugs or, you know, other issues. And how I deal with most of my counseling sessions are people who call with some really, you know, major life issues is it's really a three-step process. And the first step is you've got to take ownership of your situation. You've got to say, listen, I've got a problem. I've got a situation that I need to deal with. I know it's wrong. I know what I'm doing, be it drug use or whatever it is. And it sounds like you've gotten to that point. You really understand what it is. So after you've taken ownership, the second step is you have to take aim. And that is what I mean is you've got to go to the scripture and find those areas that will help you in whatever the issue is, maybe in your case, Ely, that it is drug use. Maybe in someone else's, it's fornication, or someone else's, it's pornography. Whatever the issue is, you have to admit that there's a problem. You have to take ownership, but then you've got to take aim. You've got to find those biblical principles, those biblical teachings that is going to really help you, you know, have a foundation of helping kick it. Then the third step, so you taking ownership, taking aim. The third step is to take action. And this, a lot of times, is the most difficult. Because people could say, yeah, sure, I've got a problem, and I know what the Bible has to say, and then they leave it at that. But the action steps are essential. And those have to be very, very practical things that you can take baby steps to get away from the issue, whatever it is. So let's just take it out of the situation that you've fought. Let's say it's not drugs, but let's say it's pornography. Let's say someone called up and says, hey man, I've got a major issue with pornography. And so I would first of all say, well, listen, you need to take ownership. You need to recognize that what you're doing is wrong. It's not helpful to you, to God, or to your family, or to anyone else. And they go, yeah, I'm right there. Well, then I'm going to take aim with them. I'm going to find biblical teachings that really show them what the Bible has to say about it. But it's the action steps that really where the rubber meets the road. That's where I'm going to say, here's some advice. You've got to get some very practical things in your life to help you get rid of the pornography. Be it, you know, put a secure lock that only, you know, someone knows, get a buddy, get an accountability, or even get rid of your computer for a short period of time. Some practical things someone could do to rid pornography from their life. In the case of drugs, same thing. You know, you've got to have some real practical things. You've got to get yourself a part of some group that's going to encourage you to, you know, to say, hey, man, we could get this together. You've got to get with a doctor who's going to give you some advice. You've got to get with maybe even some biblical counselors who are going to walk you through. Because, you know, kicking drugs is not like, you know, there are those guys that could do cold turkey. But it's not as easy as so many people like think. So there's some process. And then you've got to get rid of some friends. You know, yeah. if they're the ones dealing the dope to you. You know, all these type of things. And I'm not saying this is what I'm telling you, Ely, to do. You've got to come up with an action plan that is practical, but it's personal. And again, going back to what we said earlier, it's perennial. Yeah. You know, there's something core, something foundational in your life that needs to change. So you've got to make it personalized and then take those practical steps. All I'm giving now is just another way of looking at it. You've got to take ownership, you've got to take aim, and you've got to take action in overcoming these things.
Yeah, man.
Well, I was kind of wanting to mention, Dad, what you're saying, you know, with any type of addiction, whether it's, you know, through pornography or drug use or anything else, anything that pertains to that, to the Word of God and Scripture, there's a time which we all know Jesus Christ said, if any of you have looked at a woman and had looked at her and imagined her with lust, you've already committed adultery in your heart. And that's something that I feel can manifest into something big. I mean, how would you kind of, if you want to look at it more theologically, how can you put it, this real world or this modern world in that type of concept? Like, as an example.
As far as lust is concerned?
Well, not lust, but just anything in general. Like, lust, anything that's a pleasure to yourself can
yeah.
be you can lust for a lot of things. Not just for adultery. You can lust for.
Yeah, okay.
Lust for
Ely, this is how I take it. Now, again, there are other Christians that would disagree with me. Let me just say on the offset that I'm not a Calvinist. I'm not a hardcore Calvinist. So what I'm going to say may offend them. I'm more of a what we would call classical theologian. I'm more into Augustine and Aquinas and Anselm and so on and so forth. So here's how I would describe how mankind's condition is. And that is that we're sinners by nature, that our imago Deo, that we're made in the image of God, has been effaced, but it hasn't been erased. So though it's been damaged, you know, to the point of, you know, in and of ourselves, we can't fix ourselves. We need Christ. And that's why the Messiah, that's why God sent Jesus Christ and so on and so forth. But it begins with this understanding that we are sinners, that we sin, and that's part of our nature. But though it's been effaced, it hasn't been erased. God hasn't left you. He hasn't left people in times of struggle or in times of addiction or times of trial or times of violence. You know, going back to Rhett's question with the rapper that we were talking about. God hasn't left you. He's provided the answer in Jesus Christ. Christ is the answer to evil. Christ is the answer to suffering. Christ is the answer to all of these things we've been talking about. So you need to start in, not just you, but all people. I need God's solution, and God's solution is Christ. I'm a sinner. You know, God's image in my life has been effaced. It hasn't been erased. So I can, you know, cogently try to make decisions for Christ. I could grab onto him, and then learning what it means to walk with him, these action steps, or, you know, personalize it, what we were talking about in those earlier three P's. So it really is beginning to understand that I am a sinner.
Yeah,
we are sinners. The image of God has been effaced in our life, and I need to find God's solution, and God's solution is Christ. And so, Ely, you are spot on. You know, you're to that point where you're recognizing that you need Christ, and the theology of it is that it's the sin nature. It's been effaced, and so we need to get to God's, you know, to use another E, his eraser, yeah, you know, is Christ. And he's going to, you know, start erasing those elements in your life so you can grow in Jesus Christ.
Amen. Does that help you out, man?
Oh, it helps out a lot.
Right on.
All right, man.
Dude, thank you so
yeah,
much
thank
for
you,
calling
and
in.
Thank you for being very transparent on the radio. And we'll be praying for you, my friend. God bless you. And don't hesitate to call Calvary of Albuquerque if you ever need someone to pray with you.
Heck yeah.
God bless you.
3380880 is the phone number here. Or 344. I apologize. 344-0880, the phone number to the main
for
line
prayer. Yeah. For
Calvary Albuquerque.
And pastors, you know what a lot of people don't even realize is we have what's called the emergency phone here.
Yeah.
So if someone just really needs prayer, even after hours, it goes to the emergency phone, and a pastor has the emergency phone, and they'll pray for you.
Yeah.
And that's a cool service that Calvary Albuquerque does provide, literally 24 hours a day of prayer. And it's one of those situations that some people do need.
Yeah, absolutely. Man, okay, well, I'm going to have to put a pause on the second question, because the question was pretty great about from Tarvo about church and what makes a church and small group versus church. We will definitely touch on that again here soon.
Some great questions today. Thanks, Rhett. Thanks, Tarvo. And thanks, Ely, for those questions.
Absolutely. If you have a question, feel free to email us, studio@star88.fm. We hang on to them. Next week, I'll be in Disneyland. So I will be here, guys. But
we'll do it without you, bro. Yeah,
totally cool. All right. Happy New Year's Eve.
Happy New Year's Eve. We'll see you next year. We'll see you next year.
Oh, gosh. You were so stoked on
that. It's perfect.
Gosh. All right. See you on Tail Name.
Goodbye.